This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Houston, we do not have a problem.
Sarah Webb, Joy Drive's astrophysicist.
Good afternoon, Sarah.
Good afternoon.
Now, I don't know if you liked my little intro or not, but could you potentially have brought back the aliens? But before we talk about that, let's start with the exoplanets that's caused a bit of a media frenzy. What's going on?
Yes. So this exoplanet, K2-18b, is a cheeky one. So you might have remembered about a month ago, news outlets kind of exploded because all of a sudden there's researchers out of Cambridge who say, we have found aliens, pretty much full stop.
I know.
Did you get excited?
I got so excited. But
I was thinking of you. When I got this news, I was in the United States. I was on this program. I remember thinking, oh, I'm so sad I don't get to talk to Warren about this, like, right now, because I know that you will be so excited.
Yeah.
But, like, almost immediately, everybody else in the scientific community, including myself, went, whoa, hold on a minute. Let us see the paper. So this first announcement came before the scientific paper came out. And so, of course, everybody is a bit dubious. Mm. When we read the paper itself was very measured, saying potentially this could be a signature for life. Potentially it might not be. And it turns out, it looks like it is not, based on some new work that has just been released.
Tell us about this new work.
So other teams have gone back over and analysed what we call spectra. So they're looking at the light from this exoplanet and breaking it up. And they're trying to find signatures of a certain compound that only happens when you've got basically living oceans, when you've got algae blooms that are occurring and you've got these certain biological processes. And they're looking for that in the spectra and they don't find it. So we've now got multiple other teams who are saying, we actually don't see what this other team says they have found. Therefore, we can't put confidence on it.
Sarah, what if those biological processes that we're familiar with here on Earth are totally different and there's a different signature and we're looking for life as it is on Earth, but what if it's a different thing up there? Is that possible?
It's a great question. So you're exactly right. We're looking for things that are like us. So everything on Earth is carbon-based and we are undergoing these really cool metabolic processes based on the type of life that we are. Mm. But there's a theory out there that maybe there's silicon-based life and those metabolic processes would look very different and produce different compounds.
They'd be non-stick. Theory. No, not non-stick. They could withstand heat, which means they could go through our atmosphere and land without it.
They potentially could, or they could live on lava worlds or closer to their suns. There's a whole range of very cool things that could possibly exist, but imagine we have no evidence.
Silicon aliens.
It would be very cool, wouldn't it?
So, Sarah, the thing that strikes me about this is, you know, the original paper, I mean, we could say, oh, you know, it mustn't have been peer-reviewed or whatever the problem was, but they actually said no. It could, or maybe not, may not be alien life. Where did the media get hold of it and not look at the full paper?
Yeah. So the original paper itself, the authors did a great job at balancing exactly what you said, saying maybe that based on our data, there's an okay chance. Where the media got kind of hold of this almost crazy clickbaity-ish almost title is actually from the lead author himself. He ended up doing a quote for a press release saying that essentially that they had basically, this is a world that could be teeming or is teeming with life. And of course, that was a sentiment that was, if we're assuming this hypothesis is correct and assuming that there's all of these other things that have to go right, then potentially that could be true. And that's kind of not fair, in my opinion, as a scientist and as a science communicator, to give the media, because it's our jobs as scientists to try and communicate accurately to the media what the truth of the results are. And I think there was a little bit of ego in this result, if I'm going to say. Okay. I really do think so.
Just on that, what is enough evidence? When would Sarah Webb come on Joy Drive and say, yes, we think this is the best proof we've had so far that there are aliens. What would it take?
Oh, not until I'm abducted myself. I'm kidding. So, scientifically, it would take something called a 5-sigma detection. Now, what that means in lay terms is that we are 99.9999% confident that the signature we're seeing is true. Mm-hmm. Now, what this event was a 3-sigma detection to a certain model. So it wasn't at this, what we call 5-sigma gold standard
right.
yet. And when we get detections like that, I will happily say this is a very, very good chance okay. that we have found aliens. And the best part about science is you need to be able to do it with multiple teams and multiple ways of analyzing the data. So you need, it needs to be a collaborative group effort. Everybody has to agree.
Sarah, I've got this theory that this is how the aliens come back to Earth. So someone brings back some fungi from outer space. It doesn't matter how it got there. And it's been out there for a while. No one was watching it 24 hours a day. Someone did something to it. And then they brought it back to Earth. And it's growing.
Oh, it could be. I think you should write a book on this principle.
Tell us about your experiment. What's happening?
I promise I haven't bought any aliens back okay. that I know of, but I have bought some fungi back from space. Okay. So some keen listeners might remember last year we sent up some different mushroom species to the International Space Station. They had a very nice, luxurious trip up in space, and then we brought them back down. And they're now back in Australia, back in Victoria, and we're growing them, trying to see how healthy they really are. And it turns out two of the species have kind of thrived. They are okay. They are alive and well. Mm. One of the species absolutely did not and has actually died, which is kind of sad.
So when you say, so essentially it's that have they changed at all in outer space after being exposed to the conditions?
We have to still do some analysis okay. on the actual properties and some chemicals within them. But from a first look, as they're growing on our growth plates, they seem to be healthy.
Would you
Nothing end it? Too major has changed. I would.
Oh, okay.
If they fruit, yeah.
Sarah Webb is the alien. No, that's terrible. I'm not joking. Sarah, I love it. What's the importance of understanding how life forms respond to microgravity? Mm.
I think it's vitally important because there's a lot that we can learn from microgravity, not only for the fact that we will probably end up needing to live in space at some point, needing to have more humans living in space to be scientists or to be engineers to continue some developments. But also there's the potential to use space essentially as a farming environment.
Ah.
There's this really cool idea that being exposed to microgravity might actually make organisms act a little bit differently and potentially produce different compounds or produce better crops or better medicine than that we could do here on Earth. And one really cool area of research, which is not what we do, but an area that I keep a keen eye on, mm-hmm. is actually research into how would we treat cancer, because cancer cells grow quicker in space, so they can test drugs against it quicker. And this is probably going to ramp up very quickly in the next decade or so, that we will see more pharmaceutical companies testing in space to try and better our lives down here.
Why would cells grow faster? Is it because the gravity is not pushing on them? Is it?
Lack of gravity, yeah, exactly right. There's a few different reasons, but that lack of gravity is kind of a key one for a lot of different organisms, especially including small organisms and bacteria quite like it.
Sarah, I love this. It's fantastic. It's great to have you back. Let us know if you get that 5-sigma event. I want to be first. Joy Drive family will
I
be
promise
first.
You will be.
Sarah, always good to chat with you. We'll chat with you in a couple of weeks.
Sure will.
Thank you, Dr. Sarah Webb from Swinburne University of Technology.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.